Father, we thank you we can gather, whether there are many or whether there are few. You hear our prayers, and Lord, we know if there is just one of us praying in you, that's such a great majority. And so, Lord, where there's two or three or four or five or half a dozen, that's great. And so, Lord, we just want to worship you this morning. We want to bow down to you. We want to hear from you, and we want to glorify you. So guide us and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in Psalm 20 this morning, and Psalm 20 and 21 are really couplet psalms. They're short psalms, and one basically, which we'll look at this morning, are prayers before the battle. And then next week, 21, will be prayers after the battle. And this is really an, I always say, great psalm, but they're all great. This is the congregation praying for the king. We could probably say King David. It didn't have to be King David. It could be any king, and it could be their high priest. But the setting is Israel. The setting is King David, and the setting is probably in the temple, because it talks about the sanctuary here. So this may be after they moved the ark up from Odomedom, up from away from Jerusalem, down Kiriath Yearim to Jerusalem. We don't know exactly. And we don't know who the enemy is here, but Israel had a lot of foreign enemies. Of course, the Philistines were always an enemy of theirs, and Syria was always fighting them, and they had other battles as well. And of course, Israel is a lot different situation than we find ourselves in the United States, because in our lifetime, the United States has been unparalleled with its military might, so we don't aren't too concerned going into a war in a sense that this country is going to lose and be under subjection from the enemy. But that wasn't true with Israel, because they were always being trampled upon, and they were a tiny little country with a tiny little army, and they didn't have a chance except in the name of the Lord our God, right? So this is a prayer praying for the king before he goes into battle. That's the first five verses. And then the last four verses, one verse is for the king himself responding, and then the last three verses are for everyone to respond, or certainly the congregation to respond. And this shows us several things. One, that shows us the importance of prayer, the importance of prayer for our leaders, the importance of prayer in preparation for what lies ahead. So this is a good prayer list for your friends. This is a good prayer list for you when you get ready to go into battle, into a spiritual battle. We will take a look at it, and we'll sing a song here. As I have mentioned many times, when I come across a scripture that rings true to some words in a song that I don't come across very often, I like to sing it. And this is the only place that I know of in the Bible where it says, we will not trust in horses and chariots, but in the name of the Lord our God. Have a song here by Keith Green. We trust in the name of the Lord our God, an old familiar song. I think Chapman wrote it, but Steve Green made it famous, so to speak. And so on the first page are the words. And so sing along if you will, or just meditate on the words, either one. We trust in the name of the Lord our God.
Name of the Lord. trust in the name of the Lord our God.
A name worth more than anything.
We trust in the name of the Lord our God. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. We trust in the name of the Lord our God.
So we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, this is the psalm that prays for their king prior to a battle. And I believe we tend to pray a little more intensity before the battle than after the battle. But after the battle next week, we'll have a prayer basically of thanksgiving for what he has done for us. But as we look at this psalm today, we have a series of requests for the king, or this could be for any of us, really. If you want to pray for me, this prayer is a good one, or for you, or whatever, Lord, as he would lead us. But here, the first verse is, may the Lord answer you in day of trouble. And you can envision King David there getting ready to go to battle. You know, maybe Jerusalem is hearing the battle cries of the armies, even on adjacent hills. Maybe they even see the smoke of the fires of the army. And the armies are coming. So a battle is going to happen. So what do we do? May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. Very interesting here. We have such an emphasis on the name. First, we have the name of the God of Jacob, and then we will have the name of our God. Then we will have the name of Yahweh, our Elohim. And finally, we have our Lord. May the king answer us when we call. And so we see now Israel was accustomed to relying on the Lord when they had victories. When they didn't rely on the Lord, they didn't have victories. But they can remember back in their heritage to when the strongest army in the world, which at that time was Egypt, was drowned in the Red Sea by God's miraculous Red Sea crossing that he allowed them to make. And so they're remembering this, and they're talking here about the God of Jacob. And, you know, there's a covenant with Jacob that God had made, and God was always faithful to Jacob, always delivering him, even when he was wandering astray, even when he was so prone to doing things his own way. God never forsook him, and God always blessed him. And so they're praying in that name, may the name of the God of Jacob defend you. Again, praying to their king, and you can think of King David here if you would. They honestly, as we do, need to trust in the Lord for victory, not in man, not in our military might, not in our economic strength, not in anything of man. And God was faithful to Jacob, leading him and protecting him, as I mentioned. Verse 2, may he, God, send you help from the sanctuary. Now we are really tying sanctuary to praise, worship. We're tying worship in with warfare, which is a great thing to do, I think. That's wonderful to pray for national leaders that way. May the Lord help you from the sanctuary. I think of praying for our president that way. May he help you from the sanctuary. And we see that, you can remember there's a famous painting. I don't know if you've seen it or not. I'm sure you have. But George Washington kneeling in prayer on the battlefield during the Revolutionary War. He had no food. They had no real supplies, they had no real ammunition, they had no weaponry of any kind, and they were starving to death, but here he is praying. And of course we know the way that battle came out, because the Lord delivered again. So that's what we need to think about when we're getting ready to go into a battle. Think about on our knees praying for God's help. Then in verse 3 we read, may he, again a capital H on he, remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. talking about David, he had such great worship, and he was worshiping offerings, he was worshiping sacrifices. Burnt sacrifices are those of commitment. You remember that offering was the one that you'd put the ram on the fire, its whole self, and it would all be consumed. And that's the idea that we, being totally committed to the Lord, put all of ourself on the altar, not holding anything back. And so the third verse there then says, remember, Lord, the offerings of your king, or the offerings of those who are worshiping you. And then we have this word Selah, which is kind of a pause, or it kind of says pause a little bit and think about it. Most people think, although nobody really knows for sure what it means. But think about this for a while. And then verse 4, may he, again a capital H, grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. So that is a great prayer for friends. That's a great prayer for those whose heart's desire, and that means what God's desire is for you. It doesn't mean, oh, my heart's desire is to win the lottery, or my heart's desire is to be on People Magazine or some foolishness like that. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about my desire to serve him, my desire to worship him, my desire to be all that I can be with his help, as it says, and fulfill all your purposes. Then verse 5, we have, we will rejoice in your salvation and in the name of our God. There's the name of our God this time. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. So, you know, when they went out to battle, it was kind of like you see some movies these days. I don't know how accurate they are, but, you know, the Civil War, wherever, they would always have their regiment sign or whatever they were carrying into battle, right? This is the 14th Regiment or whatever it is. So in the name of God, we will set up our banners, right? So this battle is for you, Lord. This battle is for you. We will set up our banners, and may you, Lord, fulfill all your petitions. You're there applying still to the king, to their king, and not a big, it's a small Y there. Fulfill all your positions, King David. So praying for their leaders. I heard one pastor that was mentioning something that we know well, but he said he used to have earlier in his ministry, he had such heaviness, just such heaviness, particularly as it would approach the weekend and the Sunday service, and it was just like his feet were in mud. Even when he was in the pulpit delivering the message, he just couldn't get free of this heaviness. It was just so heavy. So in some thinking and praying, they came up with the idea they would have a group in the prayer room before the service and praying all through the service, and he said the heaviness left, and they haven't stopped that prayer group for years, and the heaviness has never come back. You know, they would visit Spurgeon back in the days when he was drawing all these thousands of people into the tabernacle there in London, and they would say, you know, we want to see where your power comes from. He said, well, go downstairs. There's 200 people down there praying for every service. That's where the power is. There was another story where Spurgeon made an unexpected visit to a small community on a Sunday morning, and there were just a handful of people there. And he prayed and nothing happened. It was just dead. He gets done with the service. This one little lady comes up and she said, why didn't you let us know you were coming? We would have prayed for you. And he said, well, I didn't really know I was coming. It was a last minute thing. They called and said, could I come? And so she said, well, you got to come back tonight. They didn't even have a service scheduled for that night. But she was so insistent. So he told the people he would be back that night if anybody wanted to come. So she went back, got her friends together. And they prayed. He came back that night, and there was more people there than there were in the morning, and it was so powerful, it was just like over the top. So that's prayer, right? So that's what your prayer does for your leaders, our leaders, and we see that here as well. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Then in the second portion of this psalm, King David, or possibly the high priest, takes the word and says, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. And that really, I believe, is relating to the Messiah. I know that the Lord, Yahweh, saves his anointed, the Mashiach. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Now the king sets in and says, I know the Lord will save his anointed, and he will answer him from his holy heaven and the saving strength of his right hand. So relying on the Lord and all the things he has done and all the things he will do. Remember, this was written 3,000 years ago, long before, it was 1,000 years before Christ was born, but they still knew the Messiah was coming. This is where that verse comes from, I believe. And if David could say that with his anointing at that time, think what we could say, because we're in a different covenant, right? We've been bought by the blood. The Messiah has come the first time. And we don't have to just hope for that promise, which was promised in the future. We are for the second coming. But for the first coming, it's already happened. So if David can ask for this, how much more can we ask for it? We've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given the whole counsel of God and so forth. And then it says, He, God, will answer him, the king here on earth, from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Saving strength of his right hand. Hold on to that, because that's what you have. That's what I have. That's what all his children have. Saving strength of his right hand. And that saves us, of course, eternally, salvation-wise, but it also saves us. I think you all had that saving strength in your hand, or you wouldn't be here this morning. You'd be out in the middle of an intersection someplace with a wrecked car or a wrecked whatever you came on, because he does protect us, doesn't he? The saving strength of his right hand. He will answer from his holy heavens with the saving strength of his right hand, and how thankful we need to be on that. And also remember, they're going into battle now, so they're saying, I know you're going to save us. You're going to be our saving strength in this battle. And then he was talking, that's the truth. That's the truth. Your saving strength is going to save us. Now, the next verse, he goes to trusting. He says, as we sang, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But we will remember. That really means to ponder. It means to have perfect trust in, to believe. But we will believe what? The name of Yahweh, our Elohim. And again, it's the name of the Lord our God. But here he goes all the way to Yahweh, our Elohim, in describing the name, the trust he has in the Lord. And again, we are in a better covenant than David was, right? David had the promise that through him the Messiah would come, but again, that was in the distance. It hadn't happened yet. We have already seen it happen. Now those who do trust in horses and chariots, what happens to them? Well, verse 8 says, they have bowed down and fallen. Trust in man, trust in your own strength. When you go into these battles, spiritual battles or whatever, and you're going to trust in your own strength, or maybe you don't really pray, but you ask somebody to pray for you or whatever, you go in kind of unprotected spiritually, you're going to lose. You're going to get stomped, right? But trusting in the name of the Lord, we have risen and stand upright. So the battle hasn't happened yet, but look what the faith is there. Because we're trusting in you, Lord, we will have risen and stand upright. We see David fully encouraged going forward into the battle, trusting not in the warfare and the armaments of Israel, but in the name of the Lord our God. And then finally, the climactic verse here where they all join in and they say this very briefest of all prayers, Save, Lord! So if you don't want a long prayer, pray that one. Save, Lord. Isn't that great? Just think what that means. Salvation for the lost. Protection for the saved. But save, Lord. And then, may the King, this is a capital K this time, may the King answer us when we call. May the Lord hear us when we call. We know He hears us. But we want our prayers to be right so He will hear them. And we want our life to be free from sin. Because, in Isaiah it says, My hand's not short that I cannot save, nor my ear that I cannot hear, but what? Your sins have separated you from me, and because of your iniquity, I will not hear your prayers. So he was telling Judah that in the days before the fall to Babylon. But it also applies to us. So may the Lord hear us when we call. So we have here the importance of praying for our leaders. We have here the importance of praying before every battle. And we have the importance of trusting in the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this psalm. And help us to trust in you. Help us to trust in your name. And Lord, we have a few moments here this morning to pray. And so as you would lead us, Holy Spirit, may we pray in one accord in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. We thank you that you are our strength, you are our hope, and the battle belongs to you. Our heart and our trust is not in horses or chariots, but our hope is in the name of the Lord our God. Father, I want to pray for these world leaders of the two-thirds or more of the population in this world. I pray for Xi Jinping in China and the billions there plus. Narendra Modi, a billion plus there as well. Donald Trump, 300 million plus. And then on down here, Joko Widodo of Indonesia, Jair Bolsonaro, Brazil, Arif Alvi in Pakistan, Muhammadu Buhari in Nigeria, Hasina Wazed in Bangladesh, Vladimir Putin in Russia, Lopez Obrador, Mexico, Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel, Angela Merkel, Germany, Kim Jong-un in North Korea, and Moon Jae-in in South Korea. And of course, there's another 200 nations in addition to that, but these are the big ones. And so, Lord, we pray for these world leaders, kings and those in authorities, that they would have the fear of you in their eyes, Lord, that they would know there is a heaven and there is a hell, that they would know that there is judgment day, that they would know that they are created in your image and will be existing for eternity, either with you or apart from you, depending on their choice, depending on their love for you or their rejection of you. And so, Lord, help us to be whatever instrument you would have us to be involved in this whole situation of salvation, this whole situation of being born again, this whole situation of fulfilling the purpose for which you've created each of us, and that is to give you glory. May we give you glory today, Lord. May our lives give you glory. We thank you. Thank you for each one that came this morning. And I know you will bless them as they follow and walk with you. Direct our steps by your word and let no iniquity have dominion over us, Lord, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.